Along with welcoming all these catechumens and candidates, their sponsors and families today, we also welcome our friends in exile, the parishioners of St. Mary Star of the Sea, who their church is not having Mass today, sadly, because both Father Tim and Father Rick are in isolation because of COVID. Any Father Tim will do when you're in a pinch. So you're always welcome here. Yes, there are some feasts in the Catholic Church that are really old, and some that fall in the middle, and some that are relatively new. If you look at Easter, Catholics have always celebrated Easter for 2,000 years. But Christmas, that has far surpassed it in significance in our family celebrations, there is no record of Christmas ever being celebrated in the church until 350 years after Jesus was born. But as for this feast that ends ordinary time, it's less than a century old. The feast of Jesus Christ, King of the Universe, was instituted by Pope Pius XI of happy memory in the year 1925, and he did it for a very good reason. In that decade, Europe was still reeling from the after effects of World War I, the deadliest conflict that had ever been seen on the planet up until that time. And in the wake of the sloppy conclusion of World War I, there was political upheaval and division spreading all across Europe. There was the rise of communism in Russia, fascism in Italy, socialism in Germany, all of which posed a threat to people of faith and to the church. Why? Because communism, fascism, and socialism do not want people to find any authority greater than the government. They do not want people to believe in God and will often restrict people's ability to worship God. And eventually, it infringes on what people can say, what people can think, what people can do. Pius XI saw all of this coming from every corner, and he could see that the church was already beginning to suffer persecution at the hands of these godless governments. And he needed to remind the faithful, we serve a greater king. He needed to remind those fascist, communist, and socialist leaders that their power is earthly and therefore not total. There is one far greater than them, whose power is without end, because he is without beginning or end. It was a time for a people increasingly experiencing persecution to look beyond the horizons of this world to a greater kingdom, serving a greater king where we can all live in true and lasting freedom. The saying goes that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, and we've seen so often through time that when someone is rising to power or running for office, they say, I will use my power for God and for good and for the service of the people. And yet no sooner do they obtain that which they seek than it becomes about power and getting more power. And instead of serving, they want to be served and press other people into service and take away their freedom. We can find one great example in history, and it was a Catholic, Napoleon Bonaparte. In 1789, during the French Revolution, Napoleon Bonaparte joined ranks with the revolutionaries to overthrow the reign of King Louis XVI and said we should never again have one man ruling over us. That was 1789. Somehow, 15 years later, Bonaparte, who had risen to power after the revolution, he decided, no, I don't want to be a king. I want to be an emperor. And thus it was that he forced Pope Pius VII to come from the Vatican to Notre Dame in Paris. And on December the 2nd, 1804, in a grand celebration, Bonaparte was going to have the Pope place the emperor's crown on his head. But at the very last moment, Napoleon took the crown from Pope Pius VII and put it on his own head because he said, there's no power greater than my own. But sadly, he would spend the next 13 years before he had to resign in disgrace just trying to hold on to that empire, trying to hold on to that power and persecuting the church at every twist and turn. He turned Notre Dame Cathedral into a stable for his horses, and Pope Pius VII, he needn't have bothered going back to Rome because Napoleon kidnapped him and kept him in exile for 5 years. That was a Catholic who claimed that he wanted people to be free, and yet the power went right to his head and then slipped right through his fingers. We could go through so many other examples, and yet we see that power in the hands of men is a dangerous thing. Jesus understood what it meant to be a king. It comes from the Latin rex, which means to lead and to guide. Jesus was willing to lead us to freedom and to guide us away from sin. Instead of enslaving people, he came to free God's people and to give his life to do so. And yet, he never sat on a throne. His only throne is the cross. He never wore a crown. The only one he had was made of brambles and thorns, and it made him bleed to death. Jesus has a kingship that is not of this world. That's what he explained to Pilate. It's out of this world, but we're all heading toward it. And during his ministry, Jesus never once referred to himself as a king. He was too humble for that. He may have been a prince of peace, but he lived like a pauper. But he did love to talk about the kingdom of God. 153 times in the four Gospels, Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God and how we are already citizens of it and how we should already be loyal subjects to it. Jesus came to set us free. He came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. It was a special honor throughout the centuries for people to be invited into the palace, into the royal court, and to eat from the king's table. That was only for a select few. But our King of the universe, he invites people of every stripe, from every century, from every country, culture, and language, the rich and the poor, the old and the young, to come to the feast so that we all might receive from the king's table. And it's in his very self that he's serving us to be medicine for the sin-sick soul and food for the journey, so that as we again live at a time when our political leaders are telling us what we can do and what we can't do, what we can say, what we can't say, and telling us even how to think, we will set our sights on a greater kingdom because we serve a greater king.